Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos and
Sister Amen.
We are coming to you once again. We have arrived at our town where we're going to have a preach tomorrow. And we had a really good travel day. Beautiful fall colors.
Nice travel video I made.
Nice travel video. It's going to be up at the top of the edification page. And then we got here, and this was a surprise. We said, it's too early to go to our park spot. So we went to a beautiful free park. And it was right by the river, or the big flowage where we are. And we got to sit there and set up, and we got some good pictures from it. And it was beautiful. We worked online for only for a couple hours. But it was awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Was beautiful. We had
people coming and going.
Yeah, we saw a bunch of birds, and the fish were jumping out there like crazy. And
it was awesome. Peaceful. Yeah, nice little bit of a refuge before we go out tomorrow.
It was. It was a nice bit of like restoring, and we just sat there and soaked up the sun. It was a beautiful sunny day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had an awesome trip to get here. Did we stop at a couple places on the way?
Oh, we did, and the gospel went out all along the
way. Yeah, we stopped
at
some
amazing
food dent and bent places that we know of. There was one that we didn't know of, and then there was another, like, variety store we stopped at.
Yeah, one of them, we drove by and we turned around. We're like, hey, that looked like a dent and bent. So we stopped. We went in there, and I ended up talking to an older woman, gave her a gospel card, talked to her a little bit. Did my shopping, purchased a few things, and came out. And one of them was yogurt raisin or yogurt cranberries. And we took a couple bites, and I was like, they were so expensive.
I said, go back and get the rest of them. So there was two or three more bags.
So
what was there, a buck a bag?
Before I go there, I wanted to say there was two women in there that I was talking to. They were like really talking about the area and everything, and we were new. And And I told you I got to witness to the older one. Well, there was another one there. She was older too, but not as old as the older one. And I wanted to give her a gospel card, but she was busy when I went out the first time. And Brother Tupo said, go get the other cranberry, or what did I say they were?
Yogurt-covered
yogurt
cranberries.
Cranberries.
Buck a bag.
Yeah, and so I went back in there, and guess what? That other woman was over by the counter, and I got to give her a gospel card. And the look on her face when I gave it to her, she was like, she must have saw me give the other woman one, because she was like, oh, thank you. Like,
she felt left out. Yeah.
She's like, well, thank you. And she said, God bless it. She was standing there reading it when I walked out. So
nice.
It was perfect timing. Yeah.
Yeah, that was perfect timing.
I had to share that.
That was a nice one. It was called Covered Bridge. It was kind of neat. They had a little covered bridge when we drive in. And then we went down to another store that we flew by and decided to turn around and go back to. And there, it was a Mennonite store. We didn't know it. And I witnessed to two Mennonite men. I want to talk about that briefly. So there was an older man, and I think it might have been his son. Kind of looked like him.
He sure looked like him.
And started talking to him, gave him one of our Mennonite cards. And then he tried to give me the usual thing they say. I said, so you're a Mennonite? He goes, well, I'm a Christian. And I said, but do you go to a Mennonite church? Well, yeah, we're called a Mennonite church. And I said, why do you call yourself Mennonites? Well, we were given that name. And I said, but you keep taking the name. Who gave it to you? 500 years ago, they called them Mennonites from Menno Simons. Menno Simons would not be happy about that.
No.
And today, the people keep using the name Mennonite. And then he said, our body voted 5 years ago to keep the Mennonite name. But he goes, if we ever voted again, we'd probably take it off. And I said, well, wait a minute. That makes no sense. I said, we're supposed to be lifting up Christ. And I quoted to him 1 Corinthians 1:12-13. Now I say this, that every one of you say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Are you baptized in the name of Paul? Are you a Mennonite? It could say. So he made excuses for that. Then I went over the gospel with him and told him, you guys don't really preach the gospel. Then I went over the pagan holidays of Christmas and Easter, and they clearly agreed that Christmas isn't biblical, neither is Easter. Jesus didn't die on Friday and rise on Sunday. They agreed, but they said they use those traditions to teach their children. And I said, you use lies to teach your children about the God of truth? And the guy's like, well, yeah. And then he brought up something. I was nice. I was calm. I was quiet. It was in the store, but there was people listening, and I kind of kept talking, and I said, no, you guys are not teaching the truth, and you guys are living in sin, and I love you. You're going to lose your soul. And I told him how they're worshiping God in vain. He said about six times, Do you keep the seven holy ordinances? Do you keep the seven holy ordinances? Do you keep the holy seven ordinances? And I said, what is he talking about? Is he like a tape recorder? And I asked a man that I'm close to, I'm united to, that used to be an Anabaptist. He's never heard of this. We've never heard of the seven holy ordinances. Mm-hmm. Sister Drummond, how many commandments and ordinances are there in the New Testament?
Over 1,000.
There's over 1,000 commands in the New Testament. I think he's talking, he brought them up. Foot washing, holy kiss, probably like Lord's Supper, baptism. And I talked to him about foot washing and said, your feet don't need washing. I said, we wash our feet by helping each other. And I said, he said, we just do it to be humble. And I said, you would be humble if you would obey God's word. That's right. What you ought to be doing.
Yeah.
And they both ignored me. The young guy was listening more. They both ignored me, and I stood there and preached for about another minute while they went back to doing their work. And then finally I said to the young man, he turned, looked at me, and I said, how wicked. I said, you Mennonite businesses will cater to business people and make money all day long, but a man wants to come and talk about the gospel and you ignore him and walk away. I said, you guys are a bunch of wicked hypocrites. And I turned around and I walked away.
Yeah, you know what?
What do you think of that, Sister Amma?
I noticed when you were talking to the older man, you were talking to him first, and the younger man came up. I gave him a gospel card because I wasn't sure if he'd listened before, and he took it. And then he stood there, and I was watching him. He was listening intently while Brother Tupos was talking to that man, talking about pagan holidays, and he was nodding his head.
He was like, agreeing.
Yep, he was. He was like really seriously listening up until the point where the other guy looked, it's like maybe he realized that younger guy, maybe his son, was listening when all of a sudden he flipped the switch. And that's when he started going after that. Seven ordinances, or whatever. And it was like, you could tell the whole dynamics of the conversation like really switched right then. And that younger man kind of turned a little bit then. But hopefully he got some truth in.
Oh, yeah.
He seemed like he was listening.
And it's really sad because these Mennonite places, they'll put up $500,000 buildings and they'll have big fancy businesses. And they'll, and did we see worldly stuff in the store they're selling?
Yeah, it was like a Speedo suit for women. You know,
Speedo suits for women for swimming and track meets.
Track meets and harlot looking dress.
These are Mennonites covered
makeup
people.
Makeup and all kinds of wicked things.
They're just worldly and compromised, and they keep their traditions, but they have not the love of the truth of God.
Right.
We prove it over and over and over again. They don't love God's people. They don't love the truth of God. They love each other and they love money.
Yeah, but guess what? They got the love of God given to them.
Amen.
And I gave away 2 Mennonite
gospel cards. Amen. So it was awesome. And yeah, we may run into them again someday. You never know.
Never know.
Sister Amma, that was awesome though. Sister Amma, what's on your mind?
Well, heart another today? Witnessing thing. We were in another store. We just happened to pick this route on our way that had several stores that we decided to stop at.
Yeah.
And was able to witness to a woman, give her a gospel card, share a little bit about man-made religion, not teaching a biblical gospel. And I told her about lies leaving you outside the gates of heaven. And she took the card, handed it to an older woman in front of her, which we're assuming might be mom.
It was her mom.
Yeah. And mom gave it to who looked like dad.
Yep. It was her great. She said grandpa.
Or grandpa. Oh, okay.
It was her dad calling him grandpa because she had little girls there.
Oh, the
there.
Grandchildren. Yeah. Yep. So it's kind of interesting. She took it from us and hands it off to somebody else.
And her mother said, Lord bless you, preaching the gospel, gave the card to the guy. He didn't say a word to me. He just walked out.
Right. Yeah. So that was just a few of the witnessing that we had today. There was a lot more that went out.
Yeah.
Too,
we got to hand out the gospel to a lot of people. And so it was glorious. Beautiful trip. Beautiful travels. What else, Sister Amma, do you have to share today?
Well, I want to give God praise and glory for his awesome creation. This time of the year, the colors, the trees.
Yeah.
You know, man can't recreate anything. Everything that's here is from God.
Yep.
And it's just like so amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just is. I wanted to make sure he gets his glory for his creation. You know, so many people, they soak it up and they look at it, but nobody stops to give him thanks and praise for it.
Yeah, it's like Romans 1. They worship the creation more than the creator.
Right. Here I was thinking, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 10:20-21. But I say that the things which a Gentile sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. It made me think about the holiday festivals coming up this next weekend, yeah. Halloween, actually.
Yeah.
And then how people of so-called Christian faith like to make, what do they call them? Harvest festivals.
Yep.
They like try to pretend that it's not a Halloween festival by putting a different name on it.
They try to sanitize it.
Yeah. And
but they still wear all the worldly costumes and...
Yeah, they're like drinking in the cup of devils.
Yep.
Is what they're doing and yep. trying to sanitize it, make it look good. We don't. So sisters, if you're brand new to the faith and you don't realize all this, all these alternative Halloween things that are going on, they're not a good thing. They're not of God. So reject them all. Let us know if you need some help discerning some of that.
Yeah.
But a lot of people get swept away in that, thinking that you can like Christianize something that's bad and make it good.
Right.
Only God can do that stuff.
Yeah, we don't need to have
all appearance of evil.
We don't need to have fall festivals and costumes and candy and all that stuff. We need to preach the gospel and live it.
Right, exactly. That's what we should be doing.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Anything else, Sister Omen?
Yeah, I was thinking about one more thing. I came across Romans 10:9. Well, we already know which one that one is, but yeah. I was reading, looking for something, and I came across it, and a thought came to my mind. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And here's a little bit of a story. Many, many years ago, we've been doing this, 15 years? Maybe it's going on 16. Yeah. No, I'd have to go back and add it. And we told everybody we knew we were going to follow the Lord. And as we learned things that we came across, people we knew, we would share it with them. Well, one day we invited my parents out. It was shortly after we were born again. We wanted to sit down with them and talk with them. We invited them out for a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting there, and we were talking about the things of God, and they were just like kind of staring at us and then making the typical excuses. I don't think they had a clue the depths.
Right.
I mean, we were sharing with them, but face-to-face to do it. And I remember my dad saying, why do we have to say it out loud?
Yeah.
And it struck me. I was like, the scriptures say that, and he said that. Needless to say, my parents want nothing to do with the truth of God.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how...
And your mother died that way.
Yeah. And my dad probably never even opened up a Bible, but he went to church all the time. My dad liked to be a greeter and just talk to everybody right. and make himself feel
social
good
there. Butterfly.
Yeah. And he didn't even know what's in the Bible, and he said out loud what is in the Bible, only he said it in the wrong way.
Yeah.
But for me as a new believer, it's like the Bible came alive to me then. You know, him saying, why do we have to say it out loud? You know, and we know when you put things in the light like that, it holds you accountable.
Yeah.
People see it.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I was just telling brothers, the Bible says, we're lift up our voice and preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Not supposed to keep it silent.
And it makes me think about how Satan wants to shut up the word of God. Because hearing... Help me out on that. It's late. I'm tired. Faith comes by hearing the word of God.
Yep.
Yeah. So when you say it out loud, people hear it or they read it.
Yep.
And how the churchianity people want to get us to shut up.
Yep.
How the world, half the time, the world doesn't even want us to be quiet. It's the churchianity people. It's
yep.
Satan behind
they're
them.
They're the real enemies, yeah.
Trying to get us to be quiet. It just, all of it kind of went together. And I was thinking about how the word of God wants to, they want to shut up the word of God.
Yeah, everybody always uses that Romans 10 to say, oh, just call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Clearly, that's yeah. to the people that are repented, born again, and holy, following Christ and obeying him. They call on his name. The
yeah.
Bible tells us in John 8 that God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners. So if you live in sin and worldliness and false religion, God's not even hearing your prayers.
Mm-mm. Right.
So good point, Sister Armin.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a scripture verse to share today?
I do. I have, we're going to go out on the streets tomorrow witnessing, and this is just one of them that I use.
At a festival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see how that turns out. And what I like to do with this is when I get to talk to a woman who claims to be of Christ, and she seems to have maybe a demeanor that is one that maybe she's a listener or a hearer, I try to be really kind and get them to examine themselves and reveal the sin that they're in, that they've been in all these years because they haven't been testing themselves. I don't necessarily want to shame somebody like that, but I do want to convict them.
Yeah, they're not following the Spirit and the Word.
Yeah, and who knows at that point, maybe their hearts are softened to listen. And I like to use this one to prove to them that we all need to examine ourselves, even the Apostle Paul. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not that your own selves... How that Christ, Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to be a reprobate, so I use that a lot
yeah.
to encourage women on the streets. They need to go deeper and examine themselves on a continuous basis.
Yeah, people are so caught up in the easy grace, the greasy grace, easy believism, that people don't believe you have to test yourself. They believe you don't have to be worthy in the covenant part, your covenant part. Mm-hmm. And they've been sold a bill of a bunch of lies from Satan and modern pastors that is good at filling up buildings, but it's terrible at creating truly born again saints, because they're not even obeying God and they don't even have the Spirit of God, and their fruit, they're going to be cut off and thrown in the fire.
Oh, I know. Yeah. We don't want that.
No.
Yeah. So
we try to speak the truth so people can test themselves, see the standard of God, which is Christ, and then being in Christ. So Christ is the standard. He's perfect, but we must be in him to get his cleansing. And how are we in him? Via the gospel, through faith in his shed blood, repentance. And when you're born again, holiness and obedience is the fruit. You know him. And he said, you will produce much fruit and you'll come out of the world. These people haven't even come out of the world and they don't have fruit. Most of them are going to hear Matthew 7, away from me, I never knew you. Because they don't have the fruit of being true children of God. And we love them enough to try to get them. We try to gain them. It says gain the naysayer. We try to gain them so that they'll read the word and see their great need.
Yeah, and by testing themselves, they'll see that great need.
Because
a lot of people, they're like, well, I already got it. I was already born again.
And
a lot of times when I use this one, it's to women, like I said, that might seem like they have a conversation going, they might be listening, and it's like you almost plead with them, please, you need to examine yourself, because I can clearly see you're not producing the fruits of a godly born-again saint.
Yeah, so, and an interesting note on this, Matthew 22, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and book of Mark adds word strength, and then it says, love your neighbor as yourself. Brother made the connection. That quote, love your neighbors yourself, goes back to the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And in the Old Testament, that quote, Jesus didn't say it the same way in Matthew, but that quote actually says rebuke your neighbor. That if you don't rebuke your neighbor, you don't love him. And rebuke, everybody hates that word. Rebuke is just correction.
Well, didn't Jesus correct the rich man when he loved him?
Yeah.
He
said he loved him and he told him, one thing you lack. So the proverb says a wise man loves a rebuke. And so rebuke, everybody thinks that's all criticism and you're being mean spirited. No, a rebuke is you're headed in the wrong direction. We care for you. Repent and turn.
Right.
And don't eat that food. It's poison. We care for you. So rebuke is a very, very good thing if you're a wise man. If you love your sin and your flesh and the ways of the world, people hate it.
Oh, yeah.
But then that means you're not on the narrow path to eternal life.
Mm-mm.
Good point, Sister Amen. Mm-hmm. Good point. Last point I have, we were talking about body life, and this always comes up, the difference between face-to-face, where you're living life together full-time, and long distance. Let's talk about that a little bit, Sister Amen. Is there a big difference between the two?
There is.
Yeah. When you're long distance, and we love our long distance brother and sister, Amma and I travel full time. We love them. We edify them every day. We communicate every day. But there is a difference when you live face to face with somebody and you're living together. You can live the life together. You can go shopping together. You can go for walks together. You can go witnessing together. Men can work on projects together. Women can do Titus 2 things together. And your whole life is entwined with each other together. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
It is.
But online, everybody has to live all those lives out, all that life out, working, children, chores, shopping, working on projects, doing all this stuff, and then find time for gathering on a regular basis. And while it's great to do that, it can take a toll on people that have to work and have families and all that trying to gather and stuff. I want to read a section of scripture that people wrongly apply in the wrong place. Let me read it and then I'll talk about it. Acts 2:42-47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily in one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the ecclesia, the church, daily as as such should be saved. That face-to-face oneness, living life together right there, is not possible to have long distance. Agreed?
Well, yeah, you need a physical presence together to have that face-to-face.
Yeah, and I think what you have to do when you have long-distance relationship, long-distance fellowship, you got to make sure that you tailor it so that everyone still has the ability to live their life, because they all got to live their separate lives. Everybody has to be able to work. Everybody has to be able to do what they need to do. And then come together as a body when you can come together, be led by the Spirit. So I just wanted to bring that up because we're kind of going through some modifications of our body gathering so that everybody's needs are being met and that they're able to maintain their life. Then they're able to grow in the Lord. They're able to go do their individual ministry. Sister Amin and I have an individual ministry. We travel on the road and we preach the gospel, and we're not living face to face with anyone. And so we interact with people every day online, but we need to have the freedom for them, those people, to do what they do. We need to have the freedom to do what God's called us to do. And if the day ever comes when you're living face to face with people and sharing life, and maybe they're retired people like us that don't have jobs, things could be like it was in Acts 2. But when you have people that have to work jobs and have children and they live thousands of miles apart and everybody has to live their life, you really have to be reasonable on how you gather, when you gather, what you do, and make sure that everything works its way out. Any thoughts on all that, Sister Amin?
No, I think you said it really well. And you also talked about with some of the brothers, or mentioned it to them, about how when new people are added, it requires, you know, a lot more time helping
right.
and getting
a lot more one-on-one.
Yep, and then everybody, like, comes around, everybody lifts up, everybody works together, and you try to figure out the dynamics of how to make it work. Because when everybody's together, yeah, there's a little bit of that you have to worry about. But when it's long distance and time change and
schedules,
and yeah, so we work really hard to try to do it, you know, in a manner that everybody can be taken care of. But when you have websites, and you have email, and you have Messenger, and you have phone calls and things like that, there's a lot of avenues people can be enriched and have that daily one anothering. It doesn't have to be set exactly.
Yeah, I think the key is ready. So we know people scatter all over, and they're like the local body in each area.
Yeah.
So we would be like considered a local body as we move around. We know people in a local body here. We know people local body in another country. We know people as a local body in another country.
Yeah.
Those people have to all operate as the local body.
Because the Lord may add to those.
Yep, and the Lord may
bodies.
Add to them. Yeah. And then we can all come together corporately and encourage each other and study and teach and all that. But that is kind of outside of their function as the local body. Paul had Ephesus, he had Corinth, he had the people in the Colossians, in the book of Colossians, in Colossians, or how do you say that? Colossians, I think it says. In Ephesus and in Rome. He had all these different bodies, but they didn't all come together. They didn't
move together.
And so
contrary to what we see some of these people doing, because they want power and they want your money.
Right.
If you know of somebody, you need to move there.
Right.
That's not necessary.
Yeah.
You're not called to move. You
and there's so few saints today, and they're scattered all over the world. So we do the best that we can.
Uh-huh.
We don't know anybody in a building that's doing it biblically and following God's gospel and his commandments. They're all keeping a bunch of false ways. So we know saints scattered all over. So we're connected to them. We edify them again. I love it. We edify them every day. We make sure everybody's functioning properly. Anybody needs help, we're there for them. But the actual gathering of the body has to be done in a right way so that it works for everybody. So I just wanted to read that. Acts 2 in context are people face-to-face living their lives right next to each other. They can share everything just about. When you're long distance, it's a lot harder. You have to come together and share the word, share teaching. Yeah, we can do the Lord's Supper together long distance. But it limits you, and you have to make sure that you modify it, and then everybody has the proper expectations. And what we don't want to do is burn people out.
Right.
That can happen when men have to work full-time jobs, then rush home, study a chapter, get online, do this, do that, do that. That can burn people out from their walk when really they should be enjoying the peace and the joy and the comfort of their walk, and then coming together as the Spirit leads, prepared, doing their ministry, doing the five things that we tell everybody you got to do. You got to eat, you got to sleep, you got to work, you got to fellowship, you got to study, you got to preach the gospel, and you got to restore yourself. That's all we do.
Right.
Now, you and I do it full time.
Yeah.
Other men and women have to work, And so we're in ministry full time. So it's easier for us. We can gather on the phone hours and hours and hours a day. Other people have small children they have to tend to. Other people have jobs. And so I just want everybody to understand, have the realization, long distance is not like it was in Acts 2. And you have to do your best to modify to make it work for all these individual people. Like, we have people in other countries that we gather with. They're 8 hours, 10 hours time difference. Mm-hmm. We got to make that work. And it's hard. We're not face to face.
Yeah, it's really hard to bring everybody together at the same time, which don't necessarily have to do
that.
And us doing what we do, like overlooking and trying to help guide and steer and then still be out on the streets.
Right.
You just have to work out all the dynamics of everybody's different lives and different needs and things like that.
Yeah, I think what happened in our fellowship is a lot of people that came together didn't know each other, and we all rushed together, and we did a lot of time and a lot of meetings, and everybody got to know each other, and relationships got built.
Awesome.
Now we've got brothers living together, and now we got a good core going, and now it's time to let everybody walk in their ministry, and we can kind of relax what we were doing a little bit. Still overseeing, still edifying every day, still gathering, still doing the Lord's Supper, but then everybody gets to now see, hey, I'm the local body right where I am. I gotta function that way.
Rise up and then share. Yeah.
Find your ministry. Uh-huh. I'm telling men, start Bible studies. If people want a Bible study right there in your own area, and start being the local body where you are, rather than being the local body on an internet site.
Yeah.
Be it right where you are.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
So I just wanted to talk about that. And so we're going through some of those things. So praise God, we get to know some saints that we get to do that with.
Amen.
A few scattered all over the world. Anything else, Sister Amin?
Love for the saints.
Yep.
And hopefully everybody's striving on and looking forward, working diligently at your ministry. Because we're sisters are called to go preach the gospel, however that is that you do it.
Yep.
Make sure you do that and redeem the time and keep the Lord first and foremost.
Oh, let me throw this in there. All of us men, and I think the sisters might be doing it, we all came up with our short-term and long-term goals for our personal walk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing. Everybody's got those goals now, and everybody's working on those goals. And we all know the goals, and we can help people with it, but everybody's got to go walk those out now. I can't do it for them.
Yeah, because as you look at the goals, they're all kind of at a different level.
Yep.
You know, based on maturity and understanding and knowledge and things and what they know, you know, how they've been walking.
And now they each got to go out and they get to walk out their goal, and we're going to help them.
Yeah.
We're going to see them grow, and we're going to come together and hear the report. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, praise God.
So looking forward for all that. And tomorrow we'll report how it goes out on the gospel road. So we're excited to get back out there. We didn't get to preach last weekend because of the weather. But we are ready. The weather looks good. Hopefully the venue is good. And hopefully the Lord lets us wake up tomorrow. We go and we preach the gospel. Lift up Christ. Warn of the wrath that's coming. But tell of God's goodness and how to avoid that wrath.
Amen.
Yeah. All right, Sister Amin. Are you ready to get some rest tonight?
Definitely.
We are going to hit the sack. We hope that you have a restful night. Wherever you are, morning, afternoon, evening, whatever it is, whatever time zone you're in, whatever country you're in, we're here for you. Email us. Check out that interesting video at the top of our edification page, our travel video today. Uh-huh. Lots of beautiful fall colors.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And we'll be back at you when the Lord wills.
Amen. Right.
Till next time, go out and seek the kingdom.
Right.
Love you all. And God be praised.